You have tuned in to another episode of The Double Edge Factor. I am your host, Rob Manuel, and peace and blessings unto you. Before we get going, be sure to like, follow, and hit that subscribe button, because the more positive interactions you put out there, the more they push this podcast to people who've never heard it before, which will allow us to grow and have a greater impact on more people around the world. So, if you would do me that favor, I would certainly appreciate it. Today, we're going to dive into something that has the power to transform relationships, build confidence, and literally change lives. We're talking about the incredible power of affirming others. Now, before you think this is just about giving compliments or being nice, let me tell you something. Affirmation goes far deeper than just that. It's about seeing the potential in people that they may not even see in themselves. It's about speaking life into their dreams, their abilities, and their character. And here's what's remarkable. When we affirm others, we don't just change them, we change ourselves. Let me start with a story that perfectly illustrates this principle. Picture this scene. The Israelites are facing their greatest enemy, the Philistines. Every day, for 40 days, a giant named Goliath, over 9 feet tall, comes out and taunts the entire Israeli army. He challenges anyone to a fight with him one-on-one. And for 40 days, not a single soldier steps forward. These are battle-tested warriors, mind you, but they're paralyzed by fear. Then this young brother named David shows up. He's probably in his teens, delivering food to his older brothers who are soldiers in the army as well. When he hears Goliath's taunts, something inside him stirs. But here's where it gets interesting. David's own brothers mock him too. They tell him to go back to sheep herd and play. This ain't for you. They question his motives, and even the king at the time, King Saul, doubts him initially. But then something beautiful happens. After David convinces Saul to let him fight, there's this moment of affirmation. Saul offers David his armor, his sword, and his protection. Now, David ultimately chooses not to wear the armor because it doesn't fit. But the gesture itself was powerful. The king was saying, I believe in you. I believe enough in you that you will give it your best. But the real affirmation comes in how David speaks to himself about God before the battle. He doesn't focus on Goliath's size and strength. Instead, he affirms his own ability, his own identity and purpose. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. David affirmed his own past victories, his relationship with God, and his calling as a protector of Israel. And you know what happened? I think you do. He defeated the giant with one single stone. Now, here's a lesson. Affirmation isn't just about the words we speak to others. It's about helping people see who they really are and what they're capable of. David needed someone to see beyond the shepherd boy to the giant slayer, the future king, the man after God's own heart. Let me bring this into our modern text with a workplace example that happened to one of my peers. Let's call her Gina. Gina was an assistant manager at a large retail chain, and she had this employee named Kelsey. Kelsey was struggling at the time. Her sales floor productivity was consistently below target, and the other team members were starting to whisper that she might not make it. She might not make it past that probationary period. But Gina saw something different. She noticed that whenever a customer had a complaint or a complex return issue, the kind of situations that made other employees uncomfortable, Kelsey was the one who could turn it around. She had this incredible ability to listen deeply, empathize genuinely, and just find a creative solution that left angry customers just not just satisfied, but actually grateful. So Gina did something that changed everything. Instead of focusing on Kelsey's productivity numbers in their next coaching session, she started with an affirmation. She said, "Kelsey, I want you to know that I see something in you that I don't think you see in yourself. When customers are upset, you have this gift of making them feel heard and valued. You turn our most challenging situations into our biggest wins. That's not just customer service, that's relationship building." She didn't stop there. Gina began assigning Kelsey to handle all of the difficult customer situations. She publicly recognized Kelsey's problems, resolution skills, and team meetings as well. She also recommended for her to take some advanced customer relationship training. Most importantly, she helped Kelsey reframe her identity from the struggling team member to the customer champion. So within months, Kelsey's confidence soared. Her productivity followed after that. Within 6 months, she was leading the store in customer satisfaction scores. Within a year, she was promoted to assistant manager and was training other employees in customer relations. So today, she manages her own store and credits Gina with helping her discover her true calling in retail leadership. Here's what Gina understood that many retail leaders miss. People rise to the level of how they are seen and spoken to. When we affirm someone's strengths, we are not just being nice. We're actually helping them access parts of themselves they may not know even existed. But here's the key. Gina's affirmation was specific, genuine, and tied to real observations. She didn't just say good job or you're great. She identified a specific strength, explained why it mattered, and gave Jessica opportunities to develop it further. This is what I call strategic affirmation. It's affirmation with purpose, affirmation that unlocks potential. Now, let's shift a little bit to a personal realm. Because of the power of affirmation, because it is just transformative in our closest relationships, maybe even more so, right? I think about my friend Jay. Jay has his relationship with a 15-year-old stepson. His name is Ricky. So Jay married Ricky's mom, of course, when Rick was like 12. And the transition, it just wasn't very easy. Rick was struggling academically. His grades were dropping from B's to D's and F's. And he seemed to have given up on trying. The more Jay and Rick's mom pushed him to do his homework and study, the more he seemed to shut down. Adding complexity to this situation, Rick was dealing with the typical challenges of a blended family. He felt caught in between loyalties to his biological father and his new stepfather, and his academic struggles were becoming a source of constant tension in the house. Now, Jay could have focused on Rick's missed assignments, his poor test scores, or seeming their lack of motivation. Instead, he chose the path of affirmation, but he did it in a way that was genuine and strategic. He started paying attention to Rick's unique qualities, his incredible mechanical intuition, his loyalty to friends, his dry sense of humor that could lighten up even tense family moments. So instead of generic encouragement about his grades, Jay began affirming these specific gifts. When Rick fixed his mom's desk lamp using spare parts from the garage, Jay just didn't say, "Hey, man, thanks." He said, "Hey, Rick, what you just did shows something incredible about how your mind works. You saw a problem, you figured it out, and you figured out what was needed. Then you created a solution from nothing. That's the kind of thinking that engineers and inventors have. That's just not being handy. That's having a problem-solving mind. When Rick stood up for a friend who was being bullied at school, Jake pulled him to the side and said, "Hey, I saw what you did for your boy Kevin. You have the strength of character that makes you stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. That takes real courage, and it tells me what kind of man you are becoming." But here's the key part. Jay connected these character qualities to Rick's academic potential. Instead of lecturing him about the grades, he began having conversations about how Rick's problem-solving mind could be applied in math, how his loyalty and integrity were the foundation of being trustworthy with responsibilities, and how his ability to see solutions could help him tackle difficult assignments one step at a time. Slowly but surely, Rick began to see himself differently. He started asking Jay for help with science projects, utilizing his hands-on learning style, and he began to understand that his academic struggles weren't because he was stupid. They were because he learned differently and needed different strategies. Most importantly, though, Jay affirmed Ricky's place in the family where he would say things like, "I'm proud of being your stepdad. Rick, you bring something special to our family that wasn't there before." This helped Rick stop feeling like he had a choice between fathers, and instead of embracing the unique role that Jay played in his life. By his junior year, Ricky's grades had improved from D's and F's to B's and C's. But more importantly, his relationship with Jay had transformed from tension and resistance to mutual respect and genuine affection. Rick started introducing Jay to his friends as, "That's my stepdad," with pride instead of reluctance. And when it came time to think about college career paths, Rick asked Jay to help him explore engineering programs. See, here's what Jay understood. Step-parenting requires a different kind of wisdom. You can't rely on the automatic authority that comes with biological parenthood. Instead, you have to earn your place through relationships, and affirmation is one of the most powerful tools you can do to build that bridge. Jay also understood that Rick's academic struggles were often symptoms of deeper issues. Feeling displaced in the family, lacking confidence in his abilities, and not understanding his own learning style. By affirming Rick's character and unique gifts first, Jay built the foundation of trust and self-worth that Rick needed before he could tackle his academic challenges. And we will be right back. Now, let's go back to the story of my man David and Goliath, because here's another layer to what's absolutely crucial to this situation. The reason David could face that giant wasn't just because of external affirmation, though it really mattered. It was because he had learned to affirm himself in the Lord. Before facing Goliath, David recounted his past victories. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." He was practicing what I call affirmational memory. Deliberately remembering and speaking about times when God had been faithful, times when he had been brave, and times when he had succeeded against all odds. This is so important because here's the truth. We can't always control whether others will affirm us, but we can learn to affirm ourselves in healthy, truthful ways. David didn't say, "I'm the strongest warrior in Israel." That would have been false. Instead, he said, "God has been faithful to me before, and he will be faithful again." He affirmed his relationship with God, his past experience of God's protection, and his calling as a shepherd of God's people. This brings me to a crucial principle. The most powerful affirmation is rooted in truth and identity, not just performance or feelings. I'm going to say that again. The most powerful affirmation is rooted in truth and identity, not just performance or feelings. When Gina affirmed Kelsey, she wasn't just saying she was perfect. She was identifying real strength and helping her see it clearly. When Jay affirmed Rick, he wasn't ignoring the struggle in grades. He was highlighting genuine qualities that could become the foundation for academic and personal success. And of course, when David affirmed himself before facing Goliath, he wasn't being arrogant. He was just remembering who he was and whose he was. So, how do we apply this? How do we become people who unlock potential in others through the power of affirmation? First, we need to become observers. We need to start looking for the good, the unique, the valuable things in people around us. This doesn't mean ignoring problems or pretending everything is perfect. It just means training our eyes to see strengths, gifts, and potential that might be hidden or underdeveloped. Second, we need to become specific, more specific. Yeah, the generic praises like good job and you're awesome, they're nice, but they don't have the power to transform people. Specific affirmation would look like this. I noticed how you stayed calm when everyone else was panicking, and your clear thinking helped us find a solution. See, that hits a little different. It helps people understand exactly what they do well and encourages them to do it again. Third, we need to connect affirmation to identity, not just performance. Instead of saying you did a great job, try saying you did a great job because you have this gift of whatever it is. Or you handled that well because you are someone who, whatever that is. You see, this helps people see their actions as expressions of who they are, not just random successes. Fourth, we need to affirm potential, not just past performance. Sometimes the most powerful affirmation is saying, I see something in you that I don't think you see in yourself yet. This is what Jesus did with the disciples. He called fishermen to be fishers of men. But here's something we often miss. Affirmation isn't just about the words we speak. It's also about the opportunities that we create, the trust we place, and the belief we demonstrate through our actions. When Saul offered David his armor, he was affirming David through his actions. When Gina gave Kelsey opportunities to handle difficult customers, she was affirming her abilities through trust. When Jay encouraged Rick to explore his mechanical interests and connected them to potential career paths, he was affirming his gifts through investment. See, sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. I know you've heard that before, right? When we give someone a chance, when we trust them with responsibility, when we invest in their development, we're saying, I believe in you in a way that goes beyond the words. Now, I want to address something important. Some people worry that too much affirmation will make people prideful or even complacent. But here's what I've observed. People don't become arrogant from genuine, truthful affirmation. They become arrogant from their false praise or either from being starved from authentic recognition. When we affirm people's characters, their growth, we affirm their efforts and their God-given gifts, we're not inflating their ego. We're helping them understand their true identity and their calling. There's a huge difference between saying you're perfect and saying you have this unique strength that, when developed, can make a real difference in the world. David didn't become prideful from remembering God's faithfulness. He became confident in God's ability to work through him. Kelsey didn't become arrogant through Gina's affirmation. She became confident in her ability to serve customers excellently. And Rick didn't develop an inflated ego from Jay's recognition. He developed a healthy sense of his own worth and his potential. Here's another beautiful truth about affirmation. When we practice it regularly, it changes us too. When we train ourselves to look for the good in others, we become more positive people. When we celebrate others' strengths, we become less threatened by their success. When we speak life into others' dreams, we become more hopeful about our own. See, affirmation is not a zero-sum game. When we build up others, we don't tear ourselves down. Instead, we create an environment where everyone can thrive. So, let me challenge you with this. Who in your life needs affirmation today? Maybe it's someone at work who's struggling with confidence. Maybe it's your child who's kind of feeling overshadowed. Maybe it's your spouse who's been carrying the heavy load. Maybe it's even yourself. Maybe you need to practice some of the affirmation memory that David demonstrated, remembering the times when God has been faithful, times when you've shown courage, times when you've made a difference. Remembering affirmation isn't about being fake or ignoring reality. It's about choosing to focus on and speak to the potential, the gifts, and the character you genuinely see in people. It's about believing in others the way that God believes in them, not because they're perfect, but because they're valuable and capable of growth. Just like David faced his giant with confidence because he remembered who he was and whose he was, we can help others face their giants by reminding them of their strengths, their worth, and their calling. The power of affirmation isn't in, it's not just in the moment you speak. It's in how it echoes in someone's mind during their next challenge, their next opportunity, their next moment of self-doubt. When you affirm someone genuinely and specifically, you give them a voice to counter that negative message that they might be hearing from the world or even from their own inner critic. So here's my final thought. Every person you encounter today is fighting some kind of battle, carrying some kind of burden, or questioning some aspect of their worth or their ability. You have the power through your words, your actions, and your belief in them to be a part of their victory story. You might be the Gina who sees potential in someone everyone else has written off. You might be the Jay who helps a struggling stepchild discover the unique gifts and find their place in the family. You might even be the voice that helps someone remember, like David did, who they are and what they're capable of. The power of affirmation is real. It's available to all of us, and it costs us nothing to give, but it can be worth everything to the person who receives it. I want to thank you all for listening today. Until next time, keep looking for the good in others. Keep speaking life into their dreams. And remember, when we affirm others, we change the world one person at a time. This is Rob Manuel with the Double Edge Factor. And if you found this episode or even a few words value added, share this episode with just one person. The only way we grow this podcast is when you guys share it. The more you share, the greater impact we can have on more listeners around the world. So, hit that subscribe button to never miss another episode, or find the Double Edge Factor on linktree.com, where you can join that free email list and have access to all of our social media outlets. And as I always say, be intentional with your words, your thoughts, and your actions, and always find a way to be a blessing to someone else today.